Our other parasha this morning is Kitisa, meaning when you take or when you carry up or to carry something out, as in this case, the taking of a census. It covers Exodus chapters 30 through 34, including in these chapters, included is the command to sanctify with sacred oil the tent of meeting and everything and everyone associated with it. I'd like for us to consider for a few minutes, though, what is a strange and troubling contrast that occurs between chapters 31 and 32. In chapter 31, we're introduced to Bezalel and Oholiab, two men uniquely gifted with artistic ability and commissioned by God to produce the many and ornate furnishings for the tent of meeting. Together with the people of their artisans' guild, as it were, these men faithfully and lovingly executed the divinely designed place of worship. At the end of chapter 31, God reminds Moses of the seriousness of the Sabbath, calling it a sign between he and our people throughout our generations. And then after this, God gave Moses the tablets, which he had himself had inscribed with the commandments, and we're suddenly reminded that everything recorded between chapters 19 and 31 took place just between the Lord and Moshe up on the mountain atop Sinai. But meanwhile, trouble was afoot down in the camp. When Moses' absence was prolonged, our people panicked. We urged Aaron to craft an idol. This in spite of the fact that just 6 weeks earlier, God had met with us and, among other things, warned us not to make idols for ourselves. Well, Aaron caved in to the pressure. He acceded to their wishes and instructed the people to bring him their fine jewelry, and he took their golden earrings and performed a little artistry of his own. He produced an abomination, a golden calf. Our people declared collectively, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." We then sacrificed to that idol and then sat down to eat. And then, and the scriptures employ a euphemism here, we rose up to play, which is a figure of speech still used in some parts of the world to refer to illicit sexual activity. God told Moses to go down quickly, saying, "Your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Moses pleaded with God on their behalf, but said to the Lord that they were your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt. You ever been the one that nobody wants to pick for your football team? Moses interceded with God to be merciful for the sake of the patriarchs and for the sake of his covenant promises to Israel. And on account of Moses pleading with God, God forgave us, and we were spared. But there would be consequences. Moses came down the mountain, saw the wickedness going on. In anger, he threw down and smashed the tablets containing the Ten Commandments. Then Moses drew the proverbial line in the sand and said, "Whoever is for Adonai, come to me." And out of the entire nation, all 12 tribes of Israel, only the tribe of Levi was willing to stand up and do what was right that day. 3,000 of the leaders of that rebellion were put to death that day. It is a tragic chapter in our history. And the fact that it's placed so centrally in this part of the Torah, in fact, it interrupts a narrative. It's quite intentional. It interrupts the whole thing about the instructions about the tabernacle. It's put there as though framed so we would remember just how badly we fail. Consider the abilities that God gives to the sons of men. To Bezalel and Aholiab, God gave gifts and talents and artistry and craftsmanship. He apparently gave Aaron artistic abilities, at least sufficient for Aaron to produce a golden calf. What are your hands producing? There's an old saying, who you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to him. The same skilled hands that have the ability to produce a thing of unparalleled beauty also have the capacity to produce a disgusting and reprehensible thing. The same gifted minds and hands can produce a piece of music that elevates the human soul and drives the imagination heavenward, also have the capacity to produce a vulgar, corrupt, self-serving cacophony, leaving souls hell-bound. Let me share some lessons. There are some very powerful lessons to take away from Parashat Ki Tisa. First of all, again, out of all of the 12 tribes of Israel, only one stood with Moses that day, the tribe of Levi. Never, ever confuse a majority opinion with the truth. A majority never, ever makes something right. It will never excuse your wrong choices or wrong actions. Number two, if Moses had not placed himself squarely between God and the sinning people of Israel, we would have been justifiably destroyed, obliterated in judgment. And this illustrates the fact that we Jews have always needed a middleman. In fact, on many occasions, Moses had to intercede for the nation. Moses, in this way, was actually a type of the Messiah, the one who was to come, who would interpose himself between God's judgment and sinful humanity. Number three, putting a nice little veneer of religiousness on some activity does not transform what is evil into what is good. Aaron attempted to sanitize the making of that idol by saying, tomorrow will be a feast to the Lord. We must not confuse spirituality with theological reality. God is real, and he is holy, and we had better not ignore or reinterpret his instructions. And finally, my question to you is, do you have artistic or musical skills? If you do, it's because you were given them, and it was God who gave it to you. Don't neglect those talents. Don't let that ground lie fallow. Put them to use. And of course, don't take credit for those talents. Give God the glory. And please, don't ever pervert those talents so that they serve yourself and serve Satan. Not everything that is called art is worthy. Make sure the things your hands produce are God-honoring and beneficial to the human soul.